note for the listeners, both James and I have got a bit of a cold, so we're sounding, I don't know, we're sounding very nasal. Mate, I tell you, if someone with divine powers walks into this room now and tells me, I can take your cold away, but I have to break one of your fingers, I'll just stick my hand out, just snap it off, mate. I tell you, I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Listen, okay, so you were shooting till 3 o'clock this morning, you said.
Yeah.
Rabbits, goats.
No, just rabbits, just tidying up on jobs that I've already ferreted.
Oh yeah.
So up in Canterbury for what was supposed to be a week and a half, but it's now looking at more like 2.5 weeks, as is always the way. We do this every sort of, at the moment, it seems every sort of 2.5, 3 months, we come up and just bang out the list of clients that have contacted us up here.
Yeah.
And then back down to Arrowtown, which is where we're based now.
Give yourself a job description for people who've never, don't know what a ferreter is.
Well, I call myself a ferreter, and just to distinguish, I suppose, a rabbiter. I suppose I am a rabbiter predominantly. Down in central, nobody seems to have an issue with other small pests like pigeons and magpies and everything. It's just rabbits.
Yeah.
Whereas up in, we do a bit of avian control with magpies, pukekos, plovers, and pigeons. But I also do hares and possums, and obviously predominantly rabbits, but we also do a bit of ratting with the ferrets as well.
Ah, interesting.
Which is usually pretty disgusting. Most of the places you're working, you're either in chicken shit, pig shit, or dog shit.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just so much fun when those rats start bolting. It's just chaos.
Yeah, man. I have a Irish Terrier cross here that I don't know if you can see it. She's there behind me sleeping. And I feel bad that I haven't given her like a ratting life, you know. She would have loved it, because the couple of times she has caught a rabbit or a rat, she just loves it. So maybe there are international listeners. Why are rabbits a problem? Like, they're in a pest, they're not native. Let's just talk about that.
No, they're not. Much like Australia, they were introduced by Brits and Europeans many, many moons ago, back in the 1800s, for food source, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of it was for sport as well. And like other things, you know, even the fox was introduced, but thankfully that didn't work out.
Was the fox introduced here?
Yes, they did try and introduce it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I think they only brought over a couple. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe I read about that. Quite some time. And so they brought, you know, the British noble folk brought in, you know, pheasants, obviously, and hedgehogs for whatever reason. Obviously rabbits and hares were introduced for game and for food. And then their populations just exploded.
Yeah.
And back in those days, I suppose you could put it down to the ignorance, really, and lack of foresight. They then, like the lady that swallowed a fly and then swallowed a spider and then swallowed it. It's, you know, they then went, oh, well, shit, what can we do about this? I know, we've got some mustelids in Europe that we could try and introduce. And so when they brought the ferrets over in, I think it's about the 1890s, they actually crossed them with the European polecat whilst they were on the ship, in the hope that it would potentially make them more hardy and help them survive the winter. Well, of course, we all know that they did more than that, and they absolutely thrived. So rabbits are just a menace, much to, I know, people think they're cute little animals, and I'm sure they are if they're your pet living in your suburban Austin, but absolutely decimate crops, native flora, they undermine the soil, the integrity of the soil and stuff. And when they're burrowing and things, we do jobs where you're looking at a hillside, and it's more air and a hole than it is soil. And of course, you have livestock walking through these paddocks, And we've had, you know, countless people have had to put down horses. And in one case, one lady had to put down two $45,000 stud alpacas in the space of a week because the ground had collapsed or their foot had gone into a hole and just snapped their leg. So, yeah, so that's, we've even had it where they've just undermined the piles on houses and whatnot, things like that. So,
what's it called, a burrow or a warren? What's a rabbit kind of?
Either. I think there's, I mean, some people call them burrows, some call them warrens. I suppose it's more sort of colloquial terms, really, as to, but I would say that burrows are smaller.
Yeah.
You know, for me, a burrow is a sort of a single hole. Like nest burrows, where quite often you'll find that the rabbit will build a short tunnel. She'll have her nest in there with her young, but she'll actually fill that hole in so it looks like, and pack it down so it looks like bare dirt, and she'll go off for the day and what have you, and then come back at night and open it. But that's the only time I allow my dogs to dig, is if it looks like bare dirt and they start digging, we know that we're onto a nest hole or a nest burrow. Whereas a warren.
Warren is big. What's the biggest warren you've seen?
I think we had one across a hillside in Meraki that I put the ferret in at one end, and you know, within about 10 minutes there were rabbits hopping out and buggering off over the hillside about 80 meters away. Oh, and wow. The ferret traveled, she was underground for over 45 minutes and appeared over 100 meters from where we'd started. So that hillside hadn't been touched for years.
I just want to go back into your, like, just talk a bit about your history before I get into what, you know, you really do. You're not a born and bred Kiwi, right?
No. I'm sorry to say I am a Pom. but like so many of us, you know, I was only in the UK for sort of 8 years. My father was in the army, so we moved around a lot.
Yeah.
Born in Germany, lived in Cyprus, etc. And then my parents obviously kicked me off to boarding school when I was 10 in the UK.
Yeah.
But then we moved to the UK when I was about 14. And I hit 21 and my parents said, see you later. And I went off to Aussie for a year. Came back to the UK and became a water sports instructor. And so I worked out in Greece and whatnot. And then after that, I decided, you know, my partner at the time said she'd wanted to come to New Zealand. And and I said, hey, I race mountain bikes over there. I'll go and do that. And it turns out I wasn't very good on a mountain bike. I spent a lot more time in hospital than I did anything.
Is that downhill?
Yeah. So I was in Queenstown for a couple of years. But I only came over for a year. But I got, after 6 months, I got a dog. And it's now been nearly 17 and a half years.
Oh, wow.
So, spent a long time working on the roads and runways. But the ferreting, I've obviously been known as Ferret Boy for, as you so kindly told New Zealand a year and a half ago that my name was Boy. I've been known as Ferret Boy by friends back home since I was about 25 years. But
you always had ferrets.
I was obsessed with ferrets. They're just amazing wee animals, very intelligent. And to have a wee sort of pocket companion that is a hunter and can help you, you know, catch other animals. I was into the sort of survival things when I was younger, reading SAS books and things.
Yeah.
And that all sort of fell by the wayside for many years. And then about 6 and a bit years ago, caught a ferret in a lady's chicken run. And it all sort of started from there. And luckily my partner, Jackie, who is obviously my business partner as well, we work together every day. She was very understanding when we got a couple more ferrets. And I was like, right, I need nets. I need trackers. I need to do this. So I was never able to do it as a youngster. And it started out with me sort of ringing places like pony clubs saying, please, can I come and remove rabbits on your land, to obviously, progressing further and further to the point where we'd ferret every day. I'd then go to work at night on the roads. And then on the way home, I'd do shooting jobs to clean up after we'd been rabbiting that day.
So maybe just describe how a job works. you get a call from someone saying, we think we've got a rabbit problem. And then?
I'd ask, you know, are they in warrens in the paddocks? Are they under your deck? Are they under buildings? These kind of things. And then sort of try and establish what the job entails. We use a long net system and also the old school purse nets if we have to. Yeah. And they were under a shipping container or under a deck. We'd set out the net. It's very quick to set that up. And it just acts as a sort of a safety buffer in terms of if there's lots of exits and what have you. You know, the dogs can only mark so many holes. And it just ensures that we don't lose any. So, yeah, so we get to the job, establish where we're going to start, set out the nets. We then, and also try and sort of pinpoint where we think the main hive of activity is. So if the dogs flush rabbits and catch, you know, go out to try and flush rabbits out of long grass or out of shelter belts and what have you, we try and sort of preempt where they're going to go and we set the net. Just because if the rabbits then get chased to ground by the dogs, then 90% chance that they won't then flush back out the hole when you put a ferret in there. Yeah. And so we end up with a hold up. So I end up having to, this idiot has to get a spade out and start digging. So we do that. Obviously ferrets all have, we tracking collars on, and then ferrets into the underground and provided everything goes smoothly, rabbits come flying out at a rapid rate straight into dogs' mouths or into the nets, and the dogs hold them, and we just remove them and quickly break their necks.
So are the dogs inside the nets or on the outside, and then they jump in? Like, how does that work?
Oh, they're inside, yeah. The dogs also tell us, say you've got a bank with 40 holes, they will mark the holes that are active, and, you know, because they may not all be connected at all. They could be
most be
10 up to, you know, 10 different warrens or 10 different sort of wee sets. So the dogs will tell us which ones are active, and have someone at home, and then chuck nets out. And if it's only a couple of holes, then we tend to just put purse nets over them. It's just a bit, might save a bit of time. Just sort of depends how you feel on the day, really.
What's the most amount of rabbits you've caught in a single job over a couple of days?
Over a couple of days, the most I think we've there was one just after we moved to Queenstown, I think we got, and to be honest, I mean, there were so many young underground being killed. I mean, at one point we dug up one warren and you could tell where the ferrets were faffing about in certain spots, and I dug five separate holes in one warren, and each hole was a different nest. They're all different ages. And you know, you think on average, certainly in Canterbury, the numbers are sort of, tend to be sort of 6 to 8. In Otago, the nests seem to be a bit smaller, 5 or 6. But you think each of those nests was, let's say, 5 or 6 rabbits. And that was happening in each warren. Over two, I think we took 80 something rabbits the first day, and the second day we took 152.
That's insane.
Yeah. And then we did a job in Alex recently that, it's quite different when you're pricing up jobs. Yeah, I mean, we did a job in Alex where we took well over 300 on 3 days. And I felt bad because she was on 12 acres. And of course, in Canterbury, someone says, oh, I'm on 10 or 12 acres. You go, yep, no worries. We can blow that out in a day, in a long day. I was incredibly apologetic. We got there and I went, oh, right. And it took us 3 days, 3 big days.
You told me that you freeze the rabbits and then the dogs and the ferrets eat them, and you supply to someone who rehabs hawks, right?
So we were supplying to, whenever they asked for them, we were giving rabbits to Oxford Bird Rescue.
But how do you deal with 300 rabbits? Are you supposed to discard them in some way, or do you have like 10 freezers at home?
No. We do have a couple of very large freezers, and so nowadays we also sell for bait, trapping bait. So we take them up to Twizel and sell them up there. But recently, yeah, we have lost a lot due to the heat during the day. Oh, by yeah. the end of the yeah, I mean, they're either, if you gut them, they're fly blown.
Yeah.
And if you gut them, they pop. So we actually found a gentleman who's developed a hot composting system to aid in the sort of reduction of waste from restaurants and stuff was his primary concern.
Yeah.
And touch with him, and I said, well, I can provide you lots of rabbit guts and potentially lots of rabbits at the worst time of year. And so, yeah, so that works pretty well. And other than that, I just try and chill them as much as I can under the ute in the shade. Obviously not such an issue when it's not summer.
Yeah.
Gut them, everything goes in the freezer. And yeah, we don't really feed the dogs that many, simply because it's impossible to keep weight on a whippet or whippet greyhound, especially when they're working. So I feed them a higher fat content diet. And then, you know, whether it be with salmon, etc., or sort of dare I say it, some working dog kibble sometimes, just to try and keep the fat content up. So we don't like anything going to waste. We recently dropped some off for Willow Bank Wildlife Hospital a few days ago, whilst we're up here. So yeah,
that's awesome. So how did you catch rabbits when you were in the UK? Like, sorry, not rabbits, ferrets. Were they they're a native species there, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you obviously have the introduced species like the mink. But it's still illegal to keep one of those as a pet.
Yeah.
I used to do mink hunting a wee bit as a youngster. Kind of like fox hunting in that you have a pack of hounds, but you're on foot. And the mink, the only reason the mink are there is because the animal loving groups, whoever they would go around to mink fur farms and break into them at night and release them.
Oh, and no. Yeah.
But let's not get into that one.
I'd
buy them from my local, just get them from your local livestock market.
Interesting.
Two for £5.
And then did people buy them just as pets, or did they buy them for kind of rabbiting reasons?
I suppose both. With the rabbiting side of things, it's the guys, you know, the rabbiters all sort of tend to, a lot of them tend to talk amongst themselves because it's a, you know, it's a sport over, it's a national sort of pastime. Well, not a national, but, you know, over many, and originally a lot for food rather than, because the rabbit numbers aren't anything like what we have here. I mean, there are some pockets here and there. But in some places in the UK, I've heard that the rabbits are pretty much extinct thanks to, viruses, essentially Khaleesi virus, and obviously myxomatosis, which is spread by the common brown flea. But the reason that failed in New Zealand is because the common brown flea isn't very common.
Because of course your government tried to introduce a couple of diseases to get rid of the rabbits, and that didn't really do as well as they thought it would.
It seems to work in pockets. When they released the K5 strain, I'm trying to think how many years ago now that was. 5 years ago, maybe a bit more. It didn't really seem to work at first, and then all of a sudden we'd have jobs that seemed to come through in waves, and all of a sudden we'd have clients saying, "Don't bother coming. I found 17 dead rabbits on my lawn this week," and things like that. And I have had a couple of clients on this trip say, listen, I don't know where they've all gone. You know, there was 20 on the lawn last week and I've seen one this week. And so I do wonder if there's potentially another wave gone through. It seems to be quite isolated. I won't go into the names of places, there is a small town near Christchurch that has always seemed to be a wee bit of a pocket, for us, that had never really seemed to have been affected by me, Khaleesi, which is fine by me. It's great.
Get some work.
I do believe that there is talk. I'm not sure if it's been put in action yet about re-releasing down in Central, and how effective that will be. Whether they do it, how effective it will be, it sort of remains to be seen. But I'm sure it will have some effect, but whether it's the effect that they're hoping for or needing, remains to be seen.
How did you go from just having a ferret year to doing it for a living?
Well, I had the very fickle animal, so I actually ended up, sort of once I'd done it once, I was like, right, okay, that's, we know that they're rife in the wild here. They're all over Otago, but they're also up here in Selwyn. They're also all over the place here. And if you sort of time it right, we obviously ours are fixed as per our permit. But we were just sort of trapping, trying to get youngsters. And then one of our dogs, actually our old retired dog, possum dog, he founded a couple of nests for us. Oh. And one of the nests, we reckon we're only about 2 days old, in a wee Gabian wall thing. And so we thought, right, okay, well, how hard can it be? So we hand reared them, and it turns out it's quite hard. Well, very time consuming.
Oh, I can imagine.
But obviously we had the gear, the nets and the trackers, and then sort of expanded and got the long nets and stuff as well, as it sort of got, as it got busier and sort of word of mouth spread. And then at one point I had MPI ring me and say, hello, we've had an animal welfare complaint about one of your ferrets. And I was a bit lost. I'd just finished night shift, so I'd only been in bed for about an hour, so I was a bit confused. And there was a photo of one of our ferrets, old Gary Glitter, and with his head covered in blood. And I said, yeah, that was rabbit blood. He'd had a feed underground. And the guy was great, and he said, no, I know that. But, we have to follow protocol. I said, I think what you're doing is great. And using ferrets on rats is a stroke of genius. And I pointed out, well, it's not my genius. They do it all over the world.
Yeah.
I just happen to do it here. And so that was great. And we went sort of, and in the end, they dropped the whole investigation. They said, it's just, please stop posting photos of your animals killing other animals on social media. So I said, did that. Listen, I've been trying to get a permit to transport a banned organism, etc. And it took a while, but we got there, and so we were issued the permit. And then, when we moved to the North Island very briefly, just over a year ago, I obviously went through the sort of spoke to them about the process again. And so in the end, they gave me a permit for the North and South Island. So we're quite fortunate. Should we ever want to go back to the North Island for work, then we can. So yeah,
I understand. But you're the only person in New Zealand that actually has that permit at the moment.
I'm not sure about now. I know I was when we spoke.
Yeah, last time. Yeah,
and I do believe that MPI have been out sort of contacting rabbiters and not only rabbiters, sorry, but also other people with ferrets, because some people decide to put it all over Facebook that they have pet ferrets and even join pet ferret pages on Facebook. And it's not very hard for MPI and stuff to find them.
You spoke about the collar. So you collar your ferrets, and then you know where they're traveling on the ground, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So they wear specific ferret tracking collars, and I mean, ultimately, the collars only go to 16 feet and sort of 5 meters. But it's not for, they're not designed for when you've lost your ferret. They're above ground. It's more for underground. So you know what they're doing underground if they're caught underground, or if they decide that actually they've had enough for the day and they curl up and fall asleep underground, then you know where to start digging.
So how do you train them? Do they just naturally take to it? How do you get them to come back to you?
I think it's like any animal, really. Some are just natural and want to do it. And they just have this zest for it. And others, I make no bones about it. We still shoot probably 70 something ferrets a year because we still remove them from people's chicken runs and stuff like that. Oh. But there are ferrets that just don't. You try and put them on the ground next to the rabbit hole, and they'll just look at you and say, "And what?" So they take the last too long. So some have a a natural aptitude for it. And it's all about, it's more about the taming of them, because obviously we can only catch wild ones. Our permit, we're still not allowed to breed. And it's all about a lot of handling and food incentives, so that they go for the food with their teeth rather than your fingers. And to get them to come back, we use a squeak that sounds a bit like a rabbit being killed. So,
and then they kind of learn that that's the cue.
Yeah, and once they're done in a warren, they'll come out, and we can sort of move on, unless it's really windy, and then they're like horses; they get a bit wind up under their tail,
yeah,
and they act loopy. But yeah, so ultimately, yeah, they end up coming back out, and sometimes they'll just put themselves back in their cage, and other times if they're faffing about, we call it ferret fishing. You just use a rabbit and just hold a rabbit down on the ground, and they fall for it nearly every time, and they just run up and grab the rabbit.
Before I forget, how many ferrets do you have at the moment?
We're allowed three per person. So at the moment, I think we've got five. Yeah.
And
so,
what are their names? That's what I wanted to get to.
Oh, right. I've got six. And so I've got three newcomers that we managed to trap. So I've got the old faithful. I've got Gary Glitter, Jeffrey Epstein, and Rosemary West. And then the new ones are Oprah Winfrey, Myra Hindley, and Hillary Clinton.
How do you choose the names? Because some of them are not terms of endearment.
No, none of them are, because they're basically all associated with murder and paedophilia, just because they're absolute predators. So,
man, that's hilarious. So how do they stay at home? Like, you've got are they in a big cage? Like, how does that work?
Yes. So at the moment, since moving to Arrowtown, I had to leave my main ferret runner in Canterbury. I had to give it to a friend, and sadly she uses it for a chicken run, which makes me want to cry. So that 4.5 by 2 by 2 meters.
Yeah.
So big old run. Now I've got one that's probably 1.5 by 3 by 2 meters high. But I'm in the, as soon as I get back home, I'll carry on with the building of a bigger new run, which I'm hoping will be sort of 4 by 2 by 2 again. And then plenty of space to run around. Even if they've been out working, they will sleep a lot if they've been out working all day. But I never want to feel that they're confined.
Yeah.
To a tiny box. It's different when we're working away and we're traveling. Like at the moment, we have those sort of international dog travel crates.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those that are I don't know what they are, about 1.2 meters long.
Yeah. Mm. No, I know how those look. And then, in terms of handling them almost like pets, like how does that, like, they're not like a dog, right?
Oh no, I mean they don't have loyalty to me like a dog, but we handle them all the time, whether at work. They're voracious little appetites, so I'm feeding them a couple of times a day. It's just small amounts, and obviously I have to clean them out every couple of days, because what goes in must come out. And so yes, they were always, you're always, and because you're walking in with them, they're not just in a wee box, you get a bit more space to sort of play around with them, etc. And even my daughter, she's what, five, and she's always wanting to play with the ferrets or hold the ferrets, etc. Recently I had a bit of a proud dad moment when she was my number one rabbit carrier for years, because she's done this since she was born, and a few weeks ago on this big job, and we finally, after 2.5 days, got out of the Lucerne paddocks, and managed to got into this wee walnut orchard, and there were just a few small holes in there, and we were just flushing to the dogs at the end of the day. And obviously the dogs were chasing them, catching them. And my daughter, for some reason, I don't know how she's obviously been paying much closer attention than I gave her credit for. The dogs were marking a hole. She went and grabbed a purse net out of the bag, set that over the hole. Didn't know she could do that.
No way.
Went and grabbed a ferret out of the cat cage and promptly put the ferret by the hole. The ferret went in. Rabbit came out. She told the dogs to drop the rabbit, and she managed to extricate the rabbit out of the net better than I can. And Jackie said to her, "Oh, do you want me to break its neck?" At which point, my daughter said, "Nah, I've got this," and broke its neck. And I was just—I didn't know she could do any of this, and I was so proud. Obviously, she was, you know, kitted out for it, you know, in her glittery unicorn shorts and t-shirt. But yeah, so I think she's suddenly found a bit more of a love for it again, which is great.
That's your retirement plan right there. That's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if I could sit back and relax better and leave her to crack on with the business, you know, later on. But who knows? I mean, kids are kids. And in, you know, 6 months' time, she could decide that she, you know, doesn't, she's suddenly become a bunny hugger and doesn't want to. She has great command over the dogs and stuff. So, she loves it. We'll see what the future holds on that front.
So I've got like just a couple of more questions, but the dogs are there. They indicate where the hole is. And then what else do they do?
Oh, well, they flush whatever, you know, so say we're in paddocks where, I mean, there are rabbits hiding in sort of slightly longer grass or what have you. Or the other day had a water race with flax down the side of it on the boundary of the client's property. And you know, the dogs go out, the pointer and the Spaniard, as I call him, Philip, he's a Spaniel cross white Swiss Shepherd. But so there are sort of bush bashers, and they'll jump the fence and then bash through all the tussock the flax and everything to scare out the rabbits or catch them if the rabbits are holding up in there.
Yeah.
Then as the rabbits bolt out the side of the hedgerows and the shelter belts, the whippets come up the outside and with the speed and catch them. So it's but then also we do possum work as well, and they basically tell us which branch of a tree the possum is on. You know, if they'll be out barking up at one branch, and then you get an idea of where the possum is, and then shoot the possum and straight into the mouths of the waiting dogs.
Who's paying you the most, government or I mean, who's responsible for most of your work, government or private people?
To be honest, we've done some government work in the past with Doc and Zip, but for a while now it's just been, we've just been doing private.
Interesting.
Yeah,
and then how do people find you? Mostly on Instagram, or are you on Facebook also?
Oh yes, I'm mainly on Facebook actually.
Okay. I don't really go on Facebook, so I just follow you on Instagram.
Yeah. I did have TikTok, which had I managed to build up to a few thousand followers, and that was great. But apparently there were a few complaints about my content. So that account was permanently banned a couple of months ago. So I haven't bothered reposting on there, which is okay. Why I've got a YouTube channel and stuff. But it's all so my YouTube is NZ Ferreter. I think it's the same on Instagram as well, actually. Yeah, just yeah. NZ Ferreter.
The thing is people see it just finish what you're saying and then.
Oh no. And other than that, it's the website, jimsbunnyhunters.com.
Okay.
But word of mouth mainly, and then people can just ring 0800 Bunny Hunter. It's a bit even trying to remember a cell phone number.
Mate, I still need to come out with you and just see how you do it, you know.
Absolutely.
The funny thing is, if you look at the alternative to using ferrets, it's poison that's going to kill something over 3 days, you know.
Or
disease.
Yes. Yeah, and neither of them are particularly nice.
Yeah.
At least with the ferrets, it's pretty instant, and that's why I dig. You know, if we have a hold up, that's why I dig, because I don't want to run the risk of either leaving a live rabbit, knowing I've left a live rabbit behind,
yeah.
or potentially an injured rabbit that's then, you know, been mangled by a ferret and is going to take ages to die.
Yeah.
You know, as much as they're a pest, I still have to, I still have sort of respect for my, uh, to my quarry. And then, yeah, so it's, and the other, I mean, the other shooting obviously has its place, and shooting is great. But it's, you know, when you go out for a shoot and you shoot a few and the rest bugger off into their holes or under the nearest shed or whatever, that's, you know, that's the ferreting complements that, you know, really well. And I have done a bit of ferreting at night just because I've been a bit pig-headed. I'm like, right, I'm not leaving this property unless I've got every rabbit. So we do that as well.
Are you just shooting 22 or 17 HMR? What are you using?
I was shooting both, actually. And I tend to use the HMR more if I'm doing hair culls on sort of deer farms and dairy farms. You know, you've got bigger areas, you're shooting over bigger distances.
Yeah.
But because I do a lot on equine properties and things, and you know, sort of smaller lifestyle blocks, I just use a suppressed 22 with subsonics. I'm using thermal and infrared, and nice. Using very slow rounds that are, some of my rounds are doing 710 feet per second. So, you know, they sort of fall out the end of the barrel if you don't get it right. But it's, yeah. And that also reduces my chance of ricochets, which, especially down the Targo, it's a lot more rocky ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have like a specific like hardcore setup, or are you like old school, something with a wooden stock? Like what are you running?
To be honest, nowadays I had a bit of an accident in hunting and fishing a few months back, and I went in to buy some dog food and I tripped and fell over and came out with a new rifle. And so I've got a Bagara BMR carbon in 2T. And then
talking my language.
Oh, sweet. I've got a PARD TD32, which is color, infrared and thermal all in the one scope, with ballistics calculation and stuff, which seems to be proving its worth. The thermal is just I haven't had a thermal for a few years, and it's just back to being a game changer, especially in sort of longer vegetation and grass and lucerne and things, which is what I've been shooting mainly recently. It can almost triple your tally in the night. So it's but of course I'm not, it is sort of cheating. I've had several people say, oh, that's cheating.
No, yeah, it's not cheating. You're not doing it for sport.
No, exactly. My job is to get everything I can for the client, and you know, if I'm not happy, unless my client's happy. And I'm a firm believer that word of mouth is still the strongest advertising tool you can ever have.
Yeah.
So all I worry about is getting a decent result for my client.
All your gear, of course, are tax deductible. So you know, why not?
I mean.
Sweet kid.
Well, there is that. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and I shouldn't really say this, but for anybody else listening that's thinking, oh, do I go into, you know, that's a fairly serious scope. I bought that at the start of December, and it was $7,300 for the scope. They've dropped the price twice now. So for anyone listening, you can now go and buy that for $4,300.
Yeah, I bought something. I can't remember what it was, like a few weeks ago, as a gift for someone. And I remember this weekend telling my wife, I'm like, oh, they've got a 25% discount sale now. Like,
nah. Yeah. So I should probably go and buy one for myself as well.
Oh, yeah. You should. Yeah, man. So what does the future look like for you? Like, do you just want to continue doing this? Like, what have you got in mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is my unhealthy obsession. And my passion. You know, I get to make a living, and if you told me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, oh, by the way, you'll do this full time, you'll be able to do this full time as a job, and you'll actually become so snowed under with work that, you know, you won't really know yourself, if you told me that, I would have laughed at you. But it's all I think about. It's you know. And I can't really do it. You know, my whole life revolves around it. I've got 7 dogs. So if I'm not, you know, and then obviously the ferrets and stuff. So if I'm not at work, I'm then stressing about, you know, shit, I've got to feed the dogs, or we haven't worked today, so I've got to take the dogs for a big run, stuff like that. So it you know, through some way, it my whole life revolves around it, which is absolutely fine by me. I just want to carry on what we're doing. We did at one point have to hire someone to help us with the work.
Wow.
People want us to franchise. It's several people have asked, said, you know, right, you should franchise and this, that, and everything else. But I don't want to do that. That takes away the personal side of it.
Yeah. I don't know who you're getting in, mate. It must just be some gun happy person because you care for your quarry also, right? Like you said, you don't want to leave something to suffer. I've been out with people who don't give a damn about whatever they're shooting, and you don't. That's a risk you can also run, you know.
Oh, there is that. Yeah, absolutely. With the shooting side of things, yeah. But also, you know, with the animals, who am I going to have this? I mean, luckily we have a lovely friend. She's she actually owns the mother of my wee bitch, and so you know she has a couple of whippets that we took on for one of them. We took on for 6 weeks whilst we were trying to, you know, breed a couple of years ago or 18 months ago, and that whippet, she just, or whippet collie, so she took it on within 4 days. She caught her first rabbit, then she was barking within a week and things like that, and she was wonderful. And so now, because she's down in Queenstown, we've been able to, you know, she's come out, and whether I go out and do a smaller job on my own, Jackie went off with her, but we tend to work as a pair so that that way you never lose a ferret, but also we work, you know, one of us is setting out nets whilst the other one is pulling in the nets and also filling in the holes of the last warren. We always fill in the holes, and that way if the dogs then flush something from elsewhere and don't manage to catch it, if that rabbit goes into a warren we've already worked, you can try and put a ferret in, the ferret will just laugh at you. So we fill in the holes, and also that means the client can then see if holes are starting to open up, they go, right, okay, we've got some rabbits back.
Yeah.
And when they get back in, it's a much quicker job. You know, we've only got 20 holes to work rather than 100. And so it's much easier to get back on top of it. And, you know, I'm, you know, pretty determined to try and take 100% of the rabbits. And I know other people may think differently, but I mean, we've sort of gone to some, I suppose other business people would call them extraordinary lengths or ludicrous lengths to make, you know, one job I went back to four times just to find that last elusive rabbit, you know, free of charge. I just went back four times to, and I finally got it. I said to them, I did say to them, I'll get this bloody rabbit for you. So yeah, it's once again, it's all about, yeah, providing that service and going the extra mile for people.
That's cool, man. Yeah, if you're coming this way in the cargo side, I mean, even if it's just like down or wherever, let me know. I'd love to just join you, check out what you do.
I do potentially. I've got a few days work coming up in Tiana soon, so absolutely, yeah. Mate.
Hit me up.
Get you down, you'll be breaking necks.
Yeah, in no time. Yeah, you'll show me the technique and I'm sure I'll figure it out. James, man, thanks. I really enjoy that. Thanks. That was awesome. I know it. It sucks having to speak so much when you've got a cold. Like, and I've got two other interviews this long today. Sweet. Cool. Good stuff, man. Good to talk to you. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, mate. And I'll be in touch soon.